in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40. I know that's not where you are. Stay where you are. You can take notes. I want you to understand, there are a lot of notes, and you can jot them down. I'll give you the notes later if you want to look them up and verify that I wasn't lying about what was in there. But we'll finally get to where you are in a little while. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus said, "As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." What we celebrate today is Calvary, the old rugged cross. We celebrate that Jesus went there and died for our sins. Let me express to you this morning, right off and freshly, before you tune out or forget, that you are a sinner. Everybody in this room is a sinner. Everybody in this room has offended God. And God, in His authority as the King of the universe, the Creator Almighty, looked down on us and had pity and sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Jesus was the only perfect man that ever lived. Amen. Without sin, He lived and became the Lamb of God. And He died on that cross to pay for my sin. He paid a debt He didn't owe. My debt that I couldn't pay. And He washed my sins away when I put my faith in Him and asked His forgiveness. And that's why we talk about Calvary, and that's why we talk about the cross. But Jesus said that after that crucifixion, and He was vague in the way He said it. Look, Jesus talked and He preached, but He expected the people that listened to Him to kind of put things together. He expected them to pay enough attention where they could look back and reflect and say, "Oh, that's what He meant." And yes, here He said 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Jesus went and He preached to the spirits in prison while He was in the heart of the earth. Now, I won't go into a great deal of detail there, but just to say that when Jesus died on the cross, He gave up the ghost, and what happened to Him is He went to the center of the earth. That's where hell is. That's where souls wait for judgment. And at that time, it was divided into two portions. One called paradise, or Abraham's bosom, where those who had faith, where those who were obedient, went to wait for judgment. And then on the other side, those who had denied and rejected God are waiting for their judgment. And Jesus went to that place. Which side did He go to? He went to the side of those who believe, because He is a believer, obviously. And so He went to the side of those who believe, and He preached to them. Can't you imagine that day as Jesus went into paradise in Abraham's bosom? Could you imagine what kind of rejoicing there was? I don't know what kind of notice. We don't know in the Bible if they knew that He was coming. But when He showed up, they knew who He was. And they celebrated and worshiped, and He preached. They sat down and just wanted to hear what He had to say. How many of you are good listeners? Y'all weren't listening, were you? How many of us are good listeners? Look, people want you to listen. They want to be heard. And if we could get over ourselves and what we want to say, we'll listen to people. But I noticed that day, He preached to the souls, the spirits, in that place here referred to as prison, in that place called paradise. And they were excited. You know why? Because they were about to find out what heaven was all about. They were about to leave that place and go to heaven and rejoice in the presence of God Almighty. And Mark chapter 16 in verse number 10, the Bible says that when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils. She went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept. Now look, I look around and I reflect and I think about the people that we've lost. I consider that we have lost loved ones. They died. They went to heaven already. And we mourn. And now I see Terry's here and Sister Francis, and you think about Brother Ed. He's coming up on the anniversary of his passing. And we miss him. And here they were still weeping. 3 days later, they mourned and wept. They just couldn't get over the idea that Jesus was gone. They were mourning and weeping. They didn't understand. Here, I think about those 3 days as each day passed. I know that night as he died, Joseph of Arimathea came and took the body, and they put him in that tomb that had been hewn out. He wasn't going to need it long anyway. But they put him in there for that night. And the apostles left. They found each other and they gathered together, and they must have sat around in numbness, confusion, disbelief. I mean, think about it. For 3.5 years they had been with this man who could make the lame walk, who himself could walk on water. He could take a couple of fish and a few pieces of bread and feed thousands and thousands. How can this man die? How is it possible that he was no longer here? I think about the wife of Zebedee. She had 2 sons that were in the company of Jesus, and she went to Jesus and she lobbied him. And she said, "Is it okay for my 2 sons, one to sit on one side and one to sit on the other side in your kingdom?" You see, in their minds, Jesus was leading a revolution. This was not just a simple movement. It was not just a church. It was going to change their lives, and it was going to change the world. Amen. How could he be dead? How could he allow himself to be arrested? And how could he have been crucified in such a brutal way? How? Mourned and wept. Bewildered, stunned, lost. I mean, now what? Do we still go to church? Do we still observe the Lord's Supper? Do we still observe Passover? I mean, what does this mean to us if he could die, if Jesus, the one who we believe to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One from heaven, if he can die? Is there any truth to the whole Bible thing? The first night passes. They mourn. The next day, they wake up. For 3.5 years, all they did was get up and go wherever Jesus went. Go preach, go teach, go feed the hungry, go heal the blind, whatever, doesn't matter. Wherever they went, they were just helping people, and they got up the next morning and they said, "What do we do? What is there to help me? What difference does it make if we do anything? If he can die?" For 3 days, they were lost. For 3 nights, they wondered why, because Jesus was in the belly of the earth preaching to the spirits. You know, the Bible says that when Lazarus died, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to Jesus, "Well, if he's dead, let's go die with him." That's really what he said. And I really believe, I wonder if these guys, these apostles, not just the apostles, but all those in the company, didn't think life was just over. Let's just die. I talk to people in counseling, you know, something will come up. Maybe it's a divorce or job loss or bankruptcy. I mean, and we look back on it in our lives and we say, "Well, that was just a little dark day." But when you're going through it, it's a crisis. And people will call me and they say, "I don't want to live. I just want to die." That's how they felt without Jesus. Because Jesus was the reason to live. Jesus gave them hope and Jesus gave them enthusiasm. By the way, the word enthusiasm, that's what it means, that God in us, and theos, God giving us energy, God giving us life, enthusiasm, excitement, a reason, a purpose. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, Peter, as Tommy was alluding to, Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Though I die with you, I'll never forsake you. I believe in you. Lord, I'm going all the way." And so said all the disciples. The crucifixion turned expectations upside down for believers. For 3 days they wondered if they had misplaced their trust. If the past 3.5 years had all been a lie. I bet they wondered if they were going to be arrested. as they gathered together and closed the door and pulled the shades and wondered, are they coming after us next? You know, this was their friend. They loved him. It was time for the preparation of the body, and you know, you couldn't even get any of the men to go. They were living in fear. Those women went to the tomb that morning. They had been up early. They prepared spices to prepare the body, because when they took the body off the cross, they just wrapped him and put him in that tomb. And of course, then we know they rolled the stone in front of it to cover it. And then the government put a seal on it and said, no trespassing. Put guards at the door. And those women went to prepare the body so that people could come by and visit, give their final respects, and maybe just touch him one last time as he lay there in state. Was this part of the plan? How could this be the plan? For Jesus to be dead. They walked to the tomb. And the earth shook. Y'all don't get excited when I say that? The earth rumbled. I heard somebody say this week, it rumbled violently. I don't know the difference, but the earth shook. They wondered, how are we going to move that stone? They got there and that stone was moved by the shaking of the earth. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Are you there? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, I don't know about you, but when the Lord said, I need somebody to go down there and move that rock, I bet all of them said, me, I want to go. The Lord sent that angel, and don't you know what a privilege it was? I'm telling you, it changed the world. Because who's going to worship a dead God? Who's going to worship a dead Savior? I mean, if you could just crucify him and he just dies and goes in the grave, how's that any different than what they've been doing all those years in the temple with the goats and the bulls? How is it any more? How is it any more valuable? How is there any more power to it? Verse 3, his countenance, the angel's countenance, was like lightning. His raiment, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Wasn't that good news? He's not here. They've got a sign at the tomb, and it says, he's not here. For he is risen. I want you to understand something. Everyone in this room, we talked about a little bit in Sunday school, no matter how big your house is, your grave is going to be about the same size. All of us are going to die. Can't live forever here. The question is this: where will you spend eternity? Will you spend eternity separated from God in that place called the lake of fire? Or will you spend eternity in the peace and the presence and the love of God? It's your decision. You see, it's like he said earlier, it's not that we don't sin, because everybody sins. It's what we do about it. Do we expect or do we accept His grace and have our sins washed away? Do we put our trust in Him? Do we give our lives to Him? Or do we live in the ruin of our mistakes? The only victory we have over the grave is that He is not here. He is risen. The angel said to the women, come and see the place where He lay. But He was alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want victory? You want hope? You want to go to heaven? You want to have heaven come to you? Put your faith in Jesus. He paid the price, and He proved He was God. Can you tell me of any other resurrected Savior? I tell you, you can't. There's one. We know He died. We know He was dead. We know He was entombed. And we know He rose from the grave. Well, how do we know? Well, we're not going to extend it that far this morning, but you know, as you continue to read the Bible, there were witnesses, hundreds of witnesses that saw Him and know His testimony. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Would you this morning put your faith in a risen Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died to pay for your sins? I want to give you that opportunity. Would you stand? We'll have a hymn of invitation. She'll play. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. If you